Good morning. Another wintry day.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Glad we're worshiping together. Whether you're worshiping at home or traveling or here in person, we're glad that you are taking this time to be together to worship the living God. I want to draw your attention to some upcoming events we have happening here at church. This week we have our concert series. Shanae's concert series is happening ad libitum. It's happening on Tuesday this week. The next one will be on a Friday. This week it's Tuesday. At noon, I can tell you, those are some holy moments. So I invite you to come, sit and listen, be present. It's a whole experience, a whole body experience. So I invite you to come to that. You'll see information in the announcements about that. Also notice just below that announcement that Bible study is again happening this week, happens weekly. There's the time change. Want to make sure you catch that at noon. Speaking of some changes, just want to name that we're continuing with our night prayer, weekly night prayer during the season of Lent. It is on Tuesday evenings. We have shifted that time a little earlier too, so that's at 8 o'clock now. We saw some folks mentioning having to set their alarm to try to stay awake for that in the evening. So that will begin now at 8. Started last week, beginning at 8. And we are doing that via Zoom now, rather than Facebook Live. So you can find that link on our website. You'll go to fbca2.org/nightprayer, and there'll be a place where you can click to join the prayer time there. I hope that you will join us. LJ will be leading us this week. I think those are all the things I wanted to share with you this morning. Would you join with me in our call to worship just inside your bulletin at the top? The hour is coming. Worship the Lord in spirit and truth. The Lord's Messiah is coming among you. The one called the Christ will show us all things.
Thank you. If you are able, please stand. Gracious and loving God, we have assembled here now to worship you, to praise your name, to thank you for the Lord Jesus, the foundation upon which we have become a community of faith, to hear your word for us today, to rededicate ourselves to do and to be what you have called us to do and to be. And as priests to one another, to offer the blessing of peace to one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm has two very different parts to it. The first part that sounds familiar, I'm sure, to all of you. It's a call to worship, basically, and I expect we will enjoy hearing it. The second part of the psalm is not so familiar, at least it isn't for me. It's about God's anger for God's people and the resolve of God's anger doesn't happen at the end of the psalm. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King over all gods. In God's hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are God's also. The sea, for God made it. For God's hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For God is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to God's voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers and mothers tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in heart, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger that they should not enter my rest. The word of God.
Have you ever been to a Michigan basketball game or football game or gymnastics meet? Have you been to some Michigan something? Yeah. And there are times where all of a sudden the crowd does some really loud thing. Let me show you. The cheerleaders help. They show big signs that say, let's go. Who knows what comes next? Blue. Let's go blue. Do you think we can do this here in the sanctuary? We're not in a Michigan arena, but in the Chrysler arena, but let's try it. How about the kids say, let's go, and everybody else says blue? Anna, can you hold the blue sign, and you show that to all of the teenagers and the grown-ups when it's time? I'll hold this. So I'll hold this, and the kids say, let's go. She holds that up, and all you say, what?
Blue.
Good. Oh, good. We got this since we. It's right. Here we go. All right, ready? We go first. Let's go.
Blues.
Let's go.
Blues.
Let's go.
Blues.
Whoa. What do you think that does for the players when they hear the crowd chanting, let's go blue? Do you think that makes them get excited and play harder? Or do you think that makes them feel bad and less good playing? What do you think? I think they play, yes, I think it helps them play hard. They get so excited. They need that boost of energy. Allie has that good boost of energy for us. Well, you know what? God's people, I'm going to compare God's people to basketball players. They are feeling tired and they're frustrated. They've been on a long journey and now they're really exhausted. They're kind of sick of it. Have you ever been tired of something? Yeah. Been tired of a long journey? Pastor Heather's going to tell this story. Well, God says, hey, I know you're sick and tired of it. I'm tired of hearing you grumbling, but look, I'll help you. Ha. Yes. Allie says, a rock? Did that make you feel stronger and better? Was that like, let's go, blue? No. Does this help you feel excited?
No.
No. Well, God's people are on a journey, and they're complaining. They're tired. They're thirsty. They say, is God with us or not? And then God says, strike the rock and water will come out. Oh, isn't that wild? It happened. They struck the rock and water comes out. Water comes. There's no water coming out now. Maybe it was kind of like the rock was magic. God said, hey, I know you're wondering if I'm with you. I am with you. I'm going to do something wild. Hit that rock and water will come out. Well, that's not going to come out today. But you know what I think it's like? This moment, I think, was like when people are cheering at a Michigan game. Except this is more like saying, God is here. So you know when we're all cheering, let's go blue. That's our way of saying, come on, team, you can do it. I know you're tired. Work hard. You got this. Well, this is God's way of saying that. With a rock and some water. So we hear the same thing. God is here. Let's see. Teresa, would you hold this up for the teenagers and the grown-ups and the people at home? And then we're all going to, kids and me, we're all going to say, here. Pastor Heather and Pastor Dick, would you join us in saying the here part? Would you be the here with us? All right, so when God's people are saying, is God with us? God shows up and says, yeah, hit this rock and water will come out. The best I can imagine is that's like saying, God is here, and chanting it to the people. Let's try it. So, Teresa, you're going to hold yours up. Go for it. And you're going to say, God is here.
God is here.
One more time.
God is here.
Here. Let's remember that. When we feel tired, when we feel thirsty, all the ways we can feel thirsty, let's remember that God is where? Here. God is here. Always. Right here. Yeah, right here. Okay, friends, let's head to church school together.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in the quiet of these moments, we lift up our waiting hearts to you. Indeed, our presence here is our prayer. Our need is our plea. Our assurance is your faithfulness. Our perspective is from the foot of the cross, from that place where our faith looks up to you, and we see that our hope is in the wonder of your love. God, the words we say here and things we do are but expressions of the faith that is within us. We pray that this time together may also be a time spent with you. We pray that according to our need, your Spirit may come to bless each one of us and abide with each one of us. And we pray that we may be ready to receive all that you have prepared for us today. Grant us to sense your presence. Feed us with the bread of life. Nourish our spirits. Give us strength for faith, courage for service, and confidence for the living of today and again tomorrow. We pray for others. We know that the needs of others often are much greater than our needs. We pray for those we know and others we do not know who are sick. And if it is not possible for them to be made well in body, grant them to have wholeness of spirit. We pray for those who grieve, including ourselves. And if it is not possible to remove their sorrow and ours, grant to them and us to know that they and we are not alone. We pray for those who feel lost and unworthy and discouraged. And if it's not possible that all the things will work out as they hope, grant them at least enough light for today and assurance that tomorrow will be bright enough and that they are neither forgotten by your love nor abandoned by your care. We pray especially for the family and friends of your servant Stacy Simpson Duke. We also pray for your servants Jill Damon, Betty Gerstler, Deb Levine, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Lauren Bowen, Grange Burnside, Fred Vanisdell, Mrs. Elsie Slaughter, Allison Lovell, Mia Germano, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Jackie. God, we ask you to accept our prayers and then to transform them into visions of the highest and best and most glorious. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
From the book of Exodus, the people are on a long journey. It's harder than they expected it to be. From the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so, in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations and responses of all of our hearts be enough. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Children are wonderful at asking questions. One Sunday in church, I went down to sit on the chancel steps to tell the children a story. I tucked my legs under my robe, and one of the children wondered if I had shoes on. Following a baptism once, a child asked if I'd been walking on water. It seems that kids care about being grounded, where our feet are. But questions are not for children only. People of faith ask many questions throughout the Bible story. Way back in that story told in Exodus, God's people are wandering through the wilderness. They are freed from slavery, but they're facing all kinds of new and unexpected hardships, including they've run out of bottled water. They have this most basic need for survival. But they're in the middle of nowhere, and their leader, Moses, is no help at all. They quarrel, and Moses asks, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" And they come back with their exasperated question, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" just to kill us with thirst. And then Moses asks, God, what on earth am I going to do with these people? You know that they're about ready to stone me. God does come through in a most remarkable and unexpected and beautiful way, provides water, and the people drink, and they are able to go on. But Moses does not forget the big question, the great testing, doubting of the Lord question. Is the Lord among us or not? In fact, Moses marked the place and the moment with the names Massah and Meribah, meaning trial and test, contention and quarrel. He doesn't memorialize the miracle of God providing water and thirsty people drinking. He remembers the question. And it comes up again in Psalm 95. Isn't that something, the second half of that psalm, where God still sounds kind of upset? And then I want to ask a question. Really? God of mercy and love? Really? You're going to loathe the people? Your people? There are plenty of other question askers. There's Job, remember, that richest of men, who suddenly becomes the poorest, most desolate of human beings. And he weeps, and he wails, and he has to fend off his know-it-all friends. And for 25 chapters, he howls at his friends and at God. And he asks over and over, why me? The Samaritan woman has a chance encounter with Jesus at a well, and they talk. This is the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone recorded in the New Testament. And she asks, why are you talking to me? Samaritans and Jews didn't do that. Men and women they didn't know didn't do that. Living water? Where do you get that? When the Messiah comes, will he explain everything? Or Nicodemus, a well-educated, Ivy League kind of guy, comes to Jesus at night because it's hard to ask questions when you're supposed to be the smartest one in the room. What does it mean, really, to be born from above? Or the words we often use, born again. Honestly, how can this be? We want answers no less than the ancient ones. We do rocket science and we chart genomes. And even for the mundane, we want experts. For our computers, we go to the genius bar. There's the brick doctor. There are garage floor pros. Our culture knocks itself out, pressing the delete button on ambiguity and uncertainty and mystery. So much in our culture urges us to avoid tension and resolve it as quickly as possible to get the job done. Right on red. Fast food, express lane, express checkout, Google, war. Do you know that somebody in Europe has recognized the harm in this worship of efficiency and information and answers to everything at the push, the click of a button? And they are starting to institute what they call the slow lane in grocery stores. That's the cashier you go to when you want to talk. You want to discuss the weather. You want to show a picture of your dog on your cell phone. Ask a question. Take your time. And everybody standing behind you in the line wants to do the same thing. That's the lane you choose if you are like poet Mary Oliver, who writes, I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I walk slowly and bow often. Unfortunately, church is often a place where it is difficult to slow down and ask questions. And an aside here, of course, children are often the ones who have the best questions and the best answers. And when we hear them, they delight us and they surprise us, and often they are funny and we want to laugh. How important it is that we sometimes hold that laughter within us so that we create a safe and welcoming place for every child to ask every question and give every answer and know it's okay. Church can often be a place where it is difficult to ask questions as we grow older. We think that being a Christian means knowing all the answers. We even have, signs on our cars. Jesus is the answer. What do you call those things on the cars? Bumper stickers. Yeah. See? I don't know all the answers. Bumper stickers on the car. We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to make a bad impression. We don't want to appear disloyal. And we certainly expect our clergy to have all the answers. Talking with one of my sisters about coming here, she said, "I hope there is a suggestion box at the pearly gates. Why does dying have to be so hard?" It didn't sound like a rhetorical question. I remember feeling inadequate because I'd never memorized the order of the books of the Bible. We didn't do that in my church growing up. But when I got to seminary, I was hanging around a lot of people who did. But then I decided that the table of contents is there for a reason. Why is it called Good Friday? Someone asked me once, when it's the day Jesus was crucified. I had to look it up. A new member of our church who did not grow up in a tradition of Sunday school or Bible study, who did not even own a Bible, asked, "What do the numbers mean in the Bible? How do you find John 3:16? Do you know how it feels to be asked questions like that? You feel honored to be trusted with such a question. You feel honored to have someone come to you with a heart open, to be invited into somebody's journey of faith. You feel love and hope. It is a holy thing. All those times people brought questions to Jesus must have made him glad. Of course, there had to be frustrating moments as well, especially when he'd already explained it more than once. But to question is to make it possible to grow in faith. In fact, I'd like to retitle the sermon. Instead of hard questions, it should just be question. It's a big part of what we say we want our church to be. That Micah 6:8 passage, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Asking questions is the mark of someone who can walk humbly. It's okay to say, "I do not have all the answers." Faith is not static, although we can and do get stuck. My faith as a child, when I needed rules and clarity and security, was what I needed as a child. It laid essential groundwork for faith to grow and mature. But as adults, we cannot live by the same overly simplistic rules that governed our morality as children. Richard Rohr teaches this. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a woman, I put away the childish ways. I put them behind me. The Apostle Paul. Faith is evolutionary. In the words of Ken Wilber, it's a journey. It has four stages. Cleaning up, we start. Growing up, waking up, and then showing up. During the season of Lent, we are claiming the word threshold for a focus and to help guide and lead us into what is not yet known. Our music and arts committee and friends are providing images and poetry and prompts that you're finding in your worship order. This is what it looks like for today. You'll see one each Sunday throughout Lent. As we live with the still so recent death of our co-pastor and friend, Stacy Simpson Duke, we are given the hard gift of finding our way to deeper faith. Birth is one of life's great thresholds, death the other, with many small births and deaths in between. Richard Rohr would say that showing up, that fourth stage of spiritual transformation, showing up is the full and final result of the prior three stages. He calls the person who reaches that stage God's fully transformed work of art. So let us question in confidence that to ask a question shows faith that there is an answer, that God is there, here, that the question brought in good faith leads to good faith. Why am I so anxious? What now? How can this be? What can I do to help? Are you with us, Lord, or not? This is what faith asks of us. Now is our opportunity to show our faith, express our love by giving to others.
Thank you.
extend the blessing of peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen.